Well, we'll talk to you this morning about a subject that we see a lot in the news, and it's the problem of terrorism. Problem of terrorism. Last time, you remember, we talked about the number of people that have been murdered, and you remember we spoke of intentional homicide. I don't like you, so I kill you. You know, that kind of a thing. But then we saw that there are some other things that are not added into that total number that we saw, and things like suicide, which would be self-murder, abortion, killing the unborn, and we also mentioned terrorism. And we want to come back and focus on that one, because as the name applies, terrorism is basically when men use terror. They use terror as a weapon to force other people to accept their beliefs. But basically, that's what terrorism is. It's when terror is used as a weapon to force other people to adopt their view or their way of thinking. And this is our focus for today, because as you're well aware, the number of terrorist attacks has grown to such an extent in recent years that now there's even a website. We got websites for everything these days. But now there's even a website. It's called the Global Terror Database, or Global Terrorism Database. And according to this database, it's an open source database that includes information on terrorist events, both domestic and international, and it goes everywhere around the world from around 1970 to 2014, and their plan is to have annual updates to keep their figures current, and as of now, their list includes, and you can see it right up there. Right now, their list already has 140,000 attacks. Somewhere around the world, 140,000 attacks. However, it should be honestly noted that even though now they have a website and now we hear more and more and more about terrorism, you need to understand terrorism's not a new thing. Okay, terrorism, it's nothing new. In fact, this may surprise you, but did you know even the Apostle Paul was accused of being a terrorist? Did you know that? Even the Apostle Paul was accused of being a terrorist. Josephus, he's the first century historian. He's a Jewish fella and lived back in the first century A.D. And in his history, Josephus wrote that during the days of Paul, and I'm going to quote Josephus. It's kind of a long quote, but just listen to it. It says, "There sprang up in Jerusalem a class of robbers called Sicarii, who slew men in the daytime." They didn't do it at night. They did it during daylight hours. Not only that, they did it in the midst of the city. This is in Jerusalem in the days of the Apostle Paul. "They did this chiefly when they mingled with the populace at the festivals, and hiding short daggers in their garments, stabbed with them those that were their enemies." In other words, they get a big crowd of people together. Some kind of big festival would be going on. These guys would slip in with their daggers and then suddenly pull them out and start stabbing people. You know. "The first to be assassinated by them, according to Josephus, was Jonathan the high priest. And after him, many were slain daily." Now, that's according to Josephus. That's according to Josephus. These Jewish terrorists basically went around, as you read the record, they basically went around killing Romans. They hated the Romans. They hated the fact that Romans had taken over their country and that Rome was now ruling and that Jerusalem was under the control of Rome. And so it was a political statement. They were against the Romans. And not only that, though, they were against any Jews who were in favor of the Romans. And so they killed Romans, they killed Jews, anybody that was pro-Rome. Now, Josephus also wrote that during this time there was a certain Jew. There was a certain Jew who came out of Egypt and declared himself to be a prophet. And he told the Sicarii, he told these group of assassins, that if they would follow him to the Mount of Olives, that he had a prediction, and that if they would follow him to the Mount of Olives, they would see the city walls collapse, and they would see the Roman army driven from their city. And so according to the history, about 4,000 Jewish men followed this prophet from Egypt, followed him out to the Mount of Olives. But Felix, who was the Roman governor, he got wind of it. And so he sent some soldiers out there, kind of like a preemptive strike, I think is what we would call it today. He sent some soldiers out there, and as a result of that military action, it is said by Josephus that some 400 were killed, 200 were taken prisoner, and the rest fled and escaped, including the Egyptian prophet. Several years later, the Apostle Paul comes to town at the end of his third missionary journey. The Apostle Paul comes to town, and you remember the story. There were some Jews there who accused him of taking a Gentile into the temple. And of course, that was a terrible thing, huge blasphemy. And as a result of that, there was a riot. The Roman soldiers came down, rescued Paul, and as they're taking him into the jail, Paul begins to speak to the jailer, to the chief captain there. And the chief captain said to Paul, notice this, this is in Acts chapter 21, verse number 38. He said, "Art not thou that Egyptian? Aren't you that Egyptian which before these days made an uproar and led out into the wilderness 4,000 men that were murderers?" In other words, aren't you the chief of this terrorist organization? See, he was suspected. He was suspected of being a terrorist. So terrorism was used to promote political goals. But it should also be noted that terrorism has been used to promote religious goals. Terrorism has been used to promote religious goals. In fact, this may surprise you even more than the Apostle Paul. Guess who? They weren't suspected of being terrorists. They were terrorists. You know who they were? It was two of the Lord's disciples, James and John. You say they were terrorists? Oh yeah, they were big time terrorists. Let me give you a Bible verse for that. James and John. Because a certain area refused to receive Christ, here's what they said. "Lord, wilt thou that we command fire? Come down from heaven, make French toast." No, I'm sorry, not French toast, Jewish toast. "Let's burn them up." That's terrorism, isn't it? That's big time terrorism. But the interesting thing is that terrorism has never been a part of God's plan. Did you know that? Terrorism has never been a part of God's plan. And as soon as James and John said this, Jesus rebuked them. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus turned, he rebuked them and said, "Ye know not what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives. Come to save. However, in spite of the admonition that the Lord Jesus gave and the very clear statement that he gave, many have used terrorism to fight against those who dare to disagree with their particular religious views. For example, number one, some Christians Let me give you two examples. First of all, the Roman Catholics. The Inquisition that we read about in church history, that Inquisition was the result of Roman Catholic priests who were totally loyal to the Pope, mounted an enormous effort to kill all the heretics in Europe and in Britain who dared to defy the authority of the Pope and dared to accept only the Scriptures. Inquisition. Thousands were killed. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs. Thousands were killed. Not only the Roman Catholics, but there's another group. The Reformation Protestants. The Reformation Protestants. History records that Martin Luther, John Calvin, many of the other so-called heroes of church history actively supported and encouraged the persecution and even the murder of any group who dared to disagree with their teachings, particularly concerning the method of baptism. In other words, those people who many call heroes of church history, to be real honest with you folks, they would have killed me and you. They would have killed me and you. Read your history. Now, if that offends you, I'm sorry. But history is kind of like a bulldog. Once it gets a bite, it just won't let go. Facts are facts. Facts are facts. This was especially true in those areas. And then of course, not only do we see some Christians, and of course, there are some Muslims. There are some Muslims who are involved. We see it every day on the news, don't we? We hear about Al-Qaeda. We hear about the Taliban. We hear about ISIS. We hear about all these other groups who are going around and killing folks. And the main issue, it's religion. It's religion. So while terrorism is not a new problem, as we've seen, it is a growing problem. And it is reaching some very serious proportions. And this is because of the fact that terrorist groups are reaching out and they are recruiting. We hear about it all the time. Terrorist groups are reaching out, they are recruiting others to join their organizations. By the way, the wise man, King Solomon, told us that's exactly how they have to operate. Look at it in Proverbs 16:29. A violent man, think terrorist, a violent man enticeth his neighbor and leadeth him into the way that is not good. That's how they operate. They recruit. But how should we? Here's the issue. As Christians, how should we respond to this thing called terrorism? What should our response be to it? What should our response be? Well, let me mention a couple of things here. First of all, number one, a fact to consider. A fact to consider. Because the actions of terrorist groups are constantly kept before us. I mean, we see it almost every day by the news media, other sources. They keep throwing this in our face. We see the pictures, we hear the stories and all of that. And so because of that, the activities of the terrorist have basically become a focal point in our thinking. And because it has become a focal point in our thinking, it has resulted in a fear that is irrational. It's an irrational fear that we have. Because we're constantly bombarded by it, we have this irrational fear. For example, the Washington Times, 15 April in 2013, they cited a study that was done by the University of Maryland. And in their study, here's what they said. They said that Americans fear a terrorist attack more than any other violent crime. In an article entitled, Terrorism and Irrational Fear, Back in 11th of August 2006, Jonah Lehrer, he posed the question in his article. His question was simply this: why is terrorism so frightening? Why is terrorism so frightening? He then pointed out that statistically, okay, just looking at the numbers, statistically, you are far more likely to be killed by a drunk driver than you are by a terrorist. I mean, the odds are far greater that a drunk driver is going to take you out instead of a terrorist. Now, I'm not advocating that we should not be diligent. I'm not advocating that at all. I think the government is right in reminding us to be vigilant, to be watchful, to be alert to what's going on around us. However, I just want you to understand. I want you to understand that irrational fear creates an unhealthy paranoia that will not keep us safe. Rather, it simply paralyzes us. It paralyzes us and it stops a way of life that we have come to know, because we're just afraid to move. Afraid to move. However, the thing that makes terrorism to be such a terror is the uncertainty. It's the uncertainty. You see, no sane, reasonable person wants to die. No sane, reasonable person wants to die. And therefore, the terror in terrorism comes from this thought. Here's the root right here. The terror in terrorism comes from this thought: I may be next. Right? Maybe it's going to be me. They're out to get me. You know? It's coming. I may be next. That's the irrational fear of terrorism. That's the irrational fear of terrorism. However, the truth is, the fact that we need to remember, all men are going to die. Right? All men are going to die. It reminds me of a quote I heard from somebody from somewhere, but it's really a good one. And the quote goes like this: the world is a dangerous place. Nobody gets out alive. That's pretty good, isn't it? And it's very true. The world's a dangerous place. Nobody gets out alive. Nobody gets out alive. So with that in mind, let me say two things. Let me say two things. The fear of terrorism, the thing that drives it is we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know when it's going to happen. And mainly, it's a fear of death is what we're talking about. So let me mention just a couple of things here about death. First of all, letter A, it is natural. Death is natural. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, the Bible says, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed on all men, for that all have sinned. Because of the sin of Adam, the father of all mankind, every one of us, born the children of Adam, were born with a sin nature. There was born within us that seed of sin which produced the seed of death. In other words, every one of us are born to die. We're born to die. In fact, someone has very well noted that pain and death are a natural part of life. Now, we don't normally put those together, but it's true. Pain and death are a natural part of life. So I want you to, first of all, when we talk about death, you need to understand it's natural. But we're going to die. But there's another thing that ought to encourage our hearts, and that is this: it is scheduled. It is scheduled. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, the Apostle Paul said it this way: it is appointed unto man once to die. It is appointed, but you need to remember, this is not an appointment that you make, right? You didn't make the appointment of when you were going to be born, did you? Your doctor, or your mother's doctor, or midwife or whatever soldier said, you know, well, the baby's going to come. It's going to come on such and such a day. Guess what? They never do. Unless it's done by, you know, surgery. But babies come when they're good and ready. Right, and the truth of the matter, we didn't know when we're going to be born, and in the very same, we don't know when we're going to die either. But there is an appointment. We didn't make it, but the appointment has been made. The appointment has been made. The wise man said it this way, Ecclesiastes 3, 1 and 2. To everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, and time to die. It's appointed. It's appointed. And that's why the psalmist said this, Psalm 31:15, my times are in whose hands? The terrorist? No, they're in God's hands. Because he's the one who made the appointment for us, right? He's the one who set the date when we're going to leave this life. And so David said, my times are in thy hands. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Bottom line, folks, until God's purpose for my life and until God's purpose for your life has been fulfilled, nobody can take your life from you but you. And that's why suicide is such a terrible sin that we talked about last time. See? That's why suicide is such a terrible sin. But even if they do take our life, and God allows it to happen, it's our time to go. Is it a tragedy? No, it's no great tragedy because, see, Paul said, absent from the body, too bad. No, that's not what he said. No, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Present with the Lord. So as we consider the subject of terrorism, we need to understand that this thing is it's not really a huge danger because our God is in control of our lives. He's in control of our times. Now I want you to notice another thing, and that's this. Number two, a pattern to consider. A pattern to consider. The Lord God warned the nation of Israel. He warned the nation of Israel that if they sinned and if they began to follow after the strange gods of the heathen nations around them, the Lord God warned them that they would most certainly face God's judgments. And part of the judgment that God would bring on the nation of Israel because of their sin, part of that judgment, it's found in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 25. Notice it says, the sword without and terror within shall destroy both the young man and the virgin, the suckling, that is the newborn, also with the man of gray hairs. In other words, God said to the nation of Israel, if you sin against me, you rebel against me, you worship false gods, I want you to understand you're going to be destroyed. First of all, you're going to be destroyed by death. Okay? Or you're going to be destroyed by terror. You're going to be destroyed by terror. In other words, even though you may not die, the fear of an unknown death is going to paralyze you. It's going to paralyze. Take all the joy out of your life. Take all the joy out of your life. Now, you know the tragic story of David and Bathsheba. Because of the terrible sin that they committed, first in adultery and then in murder to try to cover up their sin. You remember the prophet Nathan came on the scene. And in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 10, he said this. He said, now therefore the sword, that is the threat of death that equals terrorism. That's what he's talking about. He says, this sword shall never depart out of thy house. Because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Now here's the thing. Even though David was a man after God's own heart, You read that in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14, and Acts chapter 13, verse 22. David was a man after God's own heart. And yet, in spite of the fact he was a man after God's own heart, David had all kinds of terrorists who were after him. He had all kinds of terrorists who were after him. In fact, he himself said this. He said in Psalm 69, verse 4, he said, "They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head." Now, for some people, that's not very many. I won't mention any names. But we all know and love him. But David said that these people that are after me, that hate me for no reason, they're out to destroy me, and they're more than the hairs of my head in multitude. However, because of David's protection and because of God's protection for David and because of God's salvation, notice what David said in Psalm 22, two verses. First of all, in verse 3, he said, "Thou savest me from violence." Think terrorism. Same word, same idea. Thou savest me. Thou savest me. Then down in verse number 49, he said this, "Thou hast delivered me from the violent man." Think terrorist. Think terrorist. In other words, those terrorists could not kill David because the Lord God's hand of protection was upon him. However, they did cause David to be filled with fear. They did cause David's heart to be filled with terror, and that's exactly what terrorism desires to do. So what did David do? How did he respond to that? And here's the pattern I want to show you this morning. We need to respond the same way David did. So how did David respond? Notice a couple of things here. Three things, in fact. Letter A, he prayed. He prayed. Psalm 56, verse 1, "Be merciful unto me, O God. For man would swallow me up, he fighting daily oppresseth me." David prayed. He prayed. Psalm 59, verse number 2, David said this. He said, "Deliver me from the workers of iniquity and save me from bloody men." What does that mean? Simply means men who delight to shed blood. Save me from them. Save me from them. Psalm 140, verse number 1. Again, David's prayer. "Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man." Preserve me from the terrorist. Preserve me from the terrorist. By the way, the Apostle Paul requested this same kind of prayer. You remember when he was writing to the church at Thessalonica? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul said, "Finally, brethren, pray for us." And then he tells them how he wants them to pray. "Pray for us that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men." So how did David respond to the terrorists that were threatening him, the terrorism that filled his heart with fear? How did he? Okay, number one, he prayed. Number two, he trusted. He trusted. Psalm 56, verse 2 and verse number 3, he said, "Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me. O Thou Most High, what time I am afraid, I will take pills so that I can sleep at night." Now, what time I'm afraid, I'm going to trust in Thee. I'm going to trust God. He's in control. He's sovereign. He's in control of all things. My times are in His hands. What am I worried about? So I'm going to pray. I'm going to trust God. And then number three, he praised. He praised. In verse number 4 of Psalm 56, David said, "In God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." David prayed, he trusted, and he praised. And as a result of those three things, Psalm 56, verse 4, notice what he said, I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. In other words, bottom line, by doing those three things, the terror of terrorism was taken away. The terror of terrorism was taken away. Remember when I was a kid, we used to catch bumblebees. Now, for the animal rights activists, what I'm fixing to say may be offensive to you. Please forgive me. I was just a kid. I didn't know any better. Okay? But we'd catch bumblebees. And we would hold them by their wings, and their little backside was doing like that. You know, they're trying to sting us, but they couldn't get to us. They did a couple of times. But anyway, that's another story. But anyway, their little backside was going like that and trying to sting us. And we would get them down. We would get them down on a piece of log or a stump and take out our pocket knife. And when that little stinger came out, we would clamp down on it and then pull it out. Now, if you want to make a bee mad, pull out his stinger. Oh, he gets mad. And then we'd let him go. And you know what he would do? He would buzz and buzz and buzz and buzz, but he couldn't sting us because the stinger was gone. Now see, here's the thing. When we pray, and when we trust God, and when we praise Him, realizing that all of our life is in His hands, there are all kinds of dangers that can buzz around us, but they can't touch us. Because the stinger's been taken away. And that's exactly how we do it. Terror is taken out of terrorism when we follow the pattern that David gives to us. Now there's one other thing that I want you to notice. And that's this. Number three. A conclusion to contemplate. In Psalm chapter 7, verse 16. Here's what it says. It says, His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down upon his own pate. Sound familiar? Almost sounds like that verse that says, whatsoever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap, right? That's what he's going to reap. The violent man, it seems like they're getting away with murder. Literally. Seems like they're getting away with murder. And seems like the international community is powerless to stop it. And many people are wringing their hands. What are we going to do? Well, we're going to pray. We're going to trust God. We're going to wait on the Lord. And we're going to remember this one truth. Whatever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. Whatever man sows, that's what he's going to reap. David says it another way. Notice this. Psalm 140, verse number 11. He said this. He said, evil shall hunt the violent man. In other words, it's not something that just sort of benignly comes on him because he was violent, because he was a terrorist. It just kind of, well, it was in the cart. No. Evil will hunt for that man. Evil will hunt for him to overthrow him. Bottom line, there's coming a day when God will deal with those bloody men, those terrorists, those who indiscriminately kill other people. Whether they're Christians or Muslims makes no difference. God's going to deal with those who are bloody men. He's going to deal with them. And they will reap what they have sowed from the hands, not of an angry national community, but from the hands of a just and a holy and a righteous God. That's where it's going to come from. That's where it's going to come from. Terrorism is certainly a reality in our world today, and it's certainly a growing concern for many nations, and it's a growing concern for many individuals. Be honest with you. I mean, these days, I do. Maybe you don't. If you don't, you're weird. But these days, I have to. I'll tell you the truth. I get on an airplane. You know? Is this my last trip? You know, I mean, you know, the thought just kind of comes. I mean, I don't dwell on it, but it does pass through, you know. If I had a brain, it might stop and stay a while, but it just kind of goes through. And but is this my last trip? Sure, we think, but we have to realize, folks, that ultimately our times are in God's hands, and by remembering that great truth. The fear of terrorism will never conquer those. The fear of terrorism will never conquer those who will determine to fill their hearts with the fear of the Lord. If we'll keep our priorities right, terrorism has no power over us. Has no power over us. May God help us to have such a confidence in our God, even in the midst of dangerous times. Times when so many are suffering under the hands of wicked and abusive regimes and religions that are killing and harming and causing all kind of untold suffering to innocent people. Let's not forget, in spite of all this stuff we see going on, God is still, He's still in control. And there will come a day of reckoning. You can mark it down. Just as sure as tomorrow's sun will rise in the east, God will deal. God will deal with those. Their evil will hunt them, and they will reap what they have sowed. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for Your Word.